So for those who've never heard of a Zen practice period, this is something inspired by the old days when the Buddha was around. There was a time of year during the rainy season, which is a different time in India. But it's a natural time when the weather's not so nice to be playing outside, to go inward and focus more on meditation and contemplating the deeper questions of what our life is and so on. So somehow this tradition of setting aside a particular time to focus more on, we might say, formal practice of meditation and contemplation, somehow this tradition has kept going for all these many centuries. And we have our unique version of it here, all of us with complicated lives outside of the Zendo, quite different from a monastery where we're all living together, practicing together. We have our version of practice period where we bring our practice into our whole life, both in the Zendo and outside the Zendo. So for this practice period, we're emphasizing Zazen practice. The heart of our practice is just sitting in the present, very simply being in the midst of a complex, busy life, setting aside time to do this, either at home or in the Zendo. So we, of course, we offer Zazen here 3 times a day. You can join in, but also sitting at home is great. Set up a place in your home where you can stop and just be. Ideally every day or almost every day. Even if it's a short time. So this is a great way to take a practice period, if nothing else. Really have some times when we just stop. And then we also have longer times to stop. So Sesshin, our retreat periods, we start tomorrow, a 5-day Sesshin where we're sitting all day, and there's a group of people sitting through this next 5 days. But all of you are most welcome to come at any time. The schedule will be posted outside, and you can just join in Zazen, silently being together with the support of others throughout the day, whatever works for you. And there'll be Dharma talks in the morning and afternoon, opening up Zen practice. This particular Sesshin, we're looking at the stories of our Zen ancestors, how they, in the midst of their complicated difficult lives, found ways to bring practice to the forefront. And then we have many other events. We'll have a class series on the Bodhisattva precepts, a 6-week class series. You're all welcome to attend. The Bodhisattva precepts is one of our particularly wonderful ways to bring Zen practice into every activity. They're mostly all about how we interact with others. So they're a daily life practice, and we'll explore them because there's so many levels of intricacy and beauty to these Bodhisattva precepts. And we have all kinds of other events you can see to take part in this practice period. And one way I also thought of, particularly for a community where we're not all living together. And in modern times, I think one, you know, practice period since the Buddha's time has always been about simplifying life and focusing more on practice. So nowadays, simplicity is not just to find a more calm way of being, but simplicity has an effect on our whole planet. So maybe a new kind of practice period, commitment, we can think about as time goes on, maybe all over the world and in Dharma practice places, simplifying our lives, but for the benefit of the great earth and all living beings. I thought of this idea partly because practice period is a lot about commitment, and people have committed to join this practice period with certain commitments of zazen and days of sitting and Dharma events and so on. So making a commitment. But I found recently this other kind of commitment that this is Thich Nhat Hanh's community, Deer Park Monastery down in San Diego. This is called the Earth Peace Treaty Commitment Sheet. And it's kind of like something that they do, I think not so much for the people living there, but for the people who are the larger part of their community, living out in the world. And maybe it could be done for a limited time period or for one's whole life or whatever. But it's an Earth Peace Treaty Commitment. And it's from a Buddhist community as a kind of practice commitment. So I thought that was just a wonderful idea. So we could think of this 2 month time period, right? We have 2 months that where we're focusing on practice. Bodhisattva precepts is part of that, but how we relate to the earth is, could be the heart of our Dharma practice, actually. So I made a bunch of copies of this, not maybe enough for everybody here, but we can make more if you'd like. And I put them on the shoe rack outside. If you'd like to take one home, it's like a little checklist. I so-and-so commit to, and then there's all these different items that you can check off. And I think in this case they say, once you do this, please send it back to us at Deer Park and our practice community, and we'll post all the commitments on the website to inspire each other. So I haven't gotten that far with this idea here. But you could just kind of make your own commitment, and if you want to share it with me or anybody else, you can do that too. And you know, there's many lists like this these days going around, right, of different things you can do for the environment. This is a somewhat random one. I printed this one out because it was Thich Nhat Hanh's. But you can make up your own too. But I thought this was pretty good. And just to mention a few of them, some things that you could think about for these next weeks. Of course, there's a lot about transportation, maybe a whole quarter of the list. That's a big issue for us, us earthlings these days. So it has little, like, you can fill in your own, like, walk or bike to work, blank days per week. Of course, this is not possible for everyone, but depending where you live. I thought this was a kind of challenging one. Walk or bike to places within 5 miles. 5 miles is pretty far, I think, as a kind of lazy person. But maybe that's 2 or 3 miles. And for people who live near downtown Santa Cruz, not everybody does, I know, but for those who do, that's an opportunity. And I recently got a car myself, but I want to keep committing to riding the bike unless I really need to. I don't know if I'm willing to commit to the 5 mile commitment. That's kind of far. But also, biking and walking and running are great exercise. I think one of the unusual phenomena in our modern world is people drive to a gym and then they work out at the gym and drive home. And I think that's okay, and it's more, you work out more of your body that way. But we could also ride or walk to wherever we're going and make that a practical thing and exercise, so it saves time and energy. So exercise is good too, and enjoying our earth. Sometimes it's harder in a car to really feel that you're moving across the surface of the earth in this little, when we're in a little capsule, sealed capsule. So walking, maybe walking barefoot is really directly communing with the earth. And then apparently this deer park, even within their community, they have lots of cars, actually, for their staff and so on. But they've made these car-free days. Here, so this sheet has car-free day once a week, once a month, whatever seems reasonable. And so, of course, within practicality, but maybe on a day when we're not working, we think, well, maybe I don't need to drive anywhere. I'll use this day to just ride a bike or walk or just sit zazen without moving. Have an electricity-free day once a week. That one I also thought, ooh, that's really tough. But a great idea. Maybe I'll try it. I'll think about trying this one. No computer.
No refrigerator.
No refrigerator. Well, maybe we have to make exception. I bet even they didn't think of refrigerators. Maybe no extra that's not already going. But even lights. I don't know what it means. You could decide what it means, right? Air dry clothing. We use a lot of heat in the middle of the sun to dry laundry. Support farmers and reduce food miles by buying local produce. Reduce heating at home by black degrees, so you could decide your own. Eat vegetarian or vegan. I think between transportation and cattle, red meat and dairy, over and over I see on lists, these are the really big ones. If you'd like second santi, you can just put your hands in gassho, put your palms together as the server comes by. So, and I think in the Thich Nhat Hanh's community too, they say, if you're not used to vegetarian, again, you can say once a week, or if you're already doing that, twice a week, three times a week. You can, it's, none of these things are all or nothing. A lot about water use here. So there's always a lot about transportation, a lot about food, because it's something we buy or use basically every day, and water and house heating and all kinds of other energy, and also packaging, things with lots of packaging, reducing. I noticed I didn't read the details of this election ballot, but I think I saw there's several things about plastic bags. Santa Cruz is great in this way, right? It's like making new plastic bags illegal. Who would have thought of this 20 years ago, right? This is what it's coming to. I think these are great. We're thinking of these things because there's many extra plastic bags. If you don't happen to have any, you can come to me and I will give you some of my giant plastic bag collection. We can wear them out till they disintegrate from overuse for buying bulk foods. So I just offer that, and you're welcome to take one of these Earth Peace Treaty commitment sheet as a practice period commitment. I say, but that's not really Zen practice. I think this is now becoming the heart of, I think, spiritual practice in every tradition around the world. I think it's just going to go more and more this way, that of course our interpersonal relationships are essential too. But we're in a different situation than we were in Buddha's time. There was no such thing as plastic or gas or factory farming and so on. So there's part of practice period. Now, in the more kind of Zen realm, I also found this recently. This is Zen Center of San Diego, practice period description. Many Zen centers like this one. This is a non-residential Zen center where people live at home and come and practice there. So I thought this was inspiring, their description of practice period. One of the teachers there is writing this. They say, at any point in our practice, we may find we've lost track of the broad view of the function of practice. Whether we're in the rather blind honeymoon phase or in a dry spot where our interest in waking up seems to have gone dormant, we always need to raise the questions. What's the point of practice? Is practice clear? Do I assume I know what practice is when perhaps a deeper look might be in order? These are great questions I'd like to ask myself and encourage you to. What's the point of it anyway? I think especially if we've been doing it a while, we can just get into the routine. Well, I'm just coming and we're just sitting there, yeah. But what drew us here originally? It might be hard to remember for some of us been doing it a long time, but if we tap into that initial inspiration, or maybe it's something completely different. It was maybe quite diluted while we got into it. But what's our inspiration now? So this San Diego Zen Center says, practice period provides an opportunity to take a look at our current view of practice and renew our aspiration. It's a time devoted to reprioritizing our commitment to practice, both on and off the cushion. As we observe ourselves over and over, it becomes painfully apparent how little time we are actually awake. I thought, yeah, I feel this way about myself. I mean, really clear and free, right? We get so caught up in everything. We come to realize how much of the time we're lost in whatever we're doing, or totally believing our thoughts as truth, or mechanically acting out of our conditioning, which includes all our emotional reactivity. So these are all things we can pay attention to on the cushion, in Zazen, and throughout the whole day. This goes on. We also come to realize that we can't stop doing these things simply because we want to. These are great points. Well, I'll just stop obsessing about stuff. We can't just decide to stop, right? It takes a certain kind of effort, they say, plus an almost dogged perseverance to gradually counteract the seemingly relentless force of our habitual patterns and mechanicalness. A practice period is a means of setting up special conditions within which the kind of effort needed can be specifically cultivated. This is a beautiful description of the purpose and function of practice period. Setting up conditions to support each other, to go more deeply into waking up, meaning noticing our habitual patterns, and loosening them up. They say, one way to cultivate this kind of effort is to deepen your commitment to practicing by intensifying the amount of time you prioritize for formal practice. So that's formal practice we usually mean by Zen practice as like Zazen, really. Zazen, but also studying Dharma, ceremonial, devotional practice, and so on. Of course, it's not the whole realm of practice, but we do emphasize that in practice period. And the whole purpose of so-called formal practice is to carry it out into our whole informal life with less and less gap between them. So the San Diego Zen Center teachers offer the formal zazen practices and sesshins, but they also offer little practices that you can do throughout the day, like stopping. They mention these various things, like when you're waiting at a stoplight or in traffic, use that opportunity to relax and not go forward in your mind. Any type of waiting practices, we often have such situations, and to use them as a way to just be. And they even got down to the details of like little things that will remind you, like when you're sliding the credit card at the store, at the moment of sliding it or inserting the card, it's just a moment, right? Maybe a few seconds, but that could be a reminder of like, stop. A 3 second stop. Because even 3 seconds sometimes can be super helpful, I think. Not to mention a minute. What need is there to speak of 40 minutes? So stopping and noticing and reflecting, or taking up different practices. We have the Bodhisattva precept, so you could choose a different Bodhisattva precept each day of the week or each day of the month or something. Another thing we're offering in this practice period is Dokusan, so one-on-one meetings with the teachers to talk about practice. It's helpful to actually put it into words, what you're working with, and in that kind of focused way, Dokusan, we sit down face-to-face and let's explore our practice together. And that's a great gift. Even if it feels like you maybe don't have that much to say, just by saying something, often it turns our practice. So recently I've been asking people, what practices are you working on? What's the heart of your practice? And just a few people just to share, you won't guess, these are very general, but someone said, meeting others with peace. That's the heart, that's what I'm really working on in my practice. Throughout the day, when I meet others, meet them with peacefulness and non-defensiveness and right speech. I thought, that's so great to really like attend to that as a practice. Or peace throughout the day. Or really looking at one's attachments to things and relationships and so on. So these are some of the things that people have mentioned that they're working with. And I thought, all these things could be said to be like the heart of our practice. And we can bring those into zazen and outside of zazen. Did Richard have a question?
Didn't you make me think of stopping?
Yeah.
That just the idea of adding little extra things to your life other than the work you do, maybe even this practice of things that you just that maybe you could call hobbies or other interests or things that could include anything in the arts or anything involving nature or whatever. You know, any little extra thing, and even if it's only 10 minutes of it or whatever, that's another stopping, and that's a place where you can really, you know, think about paying attention.
Something that you love to do, but it's not like kind of utilitarian, maybe?
Yeah.
Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
Which is good, because, yeah, we have such a such functional, like, efficient lives, right? And that's what I think busyness, we don't often say we're busy taking a hike in nature. So I think busy means like the things that we're, that almost feel like obligations and task oriented. So yeah, zazen is a nice practice because it's a relief from that, right? We just come and be. We're not trying to get anywhere. So we can, all kinds of things. Yeah, walking in nature is like that. For you, playing music, I imagine, is very much like that. And doing art. But not turning it into another obligation. I think this is the trick with commitments, right? Because I think practice period is about making commitments. But there's a fine line between commitment and obligation. Very fine line. I remember last year at this time when opening the fall practice period, I was thinking to myself, what do I want to work on this practice period this fall? And I recall saying, I want to work on actually like doing less. So Richard says we can add things in, but I think that another thing we might also do is less. And, you know, I don't know, can't remember how it kind of worked out over those months, but over the last year since saying that, I don't feel like I've been so, so I don't think I followed through so well on that commitment. It's hard, you know, we all have our different tendencies, how we get caught up in not being present. And sometimes it's busyness. So, sashin is good. I look forward to doing that tomorrow. For me, it sometimes can feel a little busy because I'm thinking about these talks. We're studying something together. But luckily, there's enough zazen that there's also just some time to just sit. Did somebody else have a question or a point they wanted to bring up? Questions about practice period or ideas, other ideas that you have for this time period? Yes, Patrick.
So we do meditation instruction here once a month, the fourth Saturday morning, 10 a.m. completely free. When I teach that class, we talk about stopping completely at a stop sign, at a stop light, kind of behind the line. Behind the crosswalk, and just kind of experiencing what that is. And the beauty of it is, we've got a stop sign right at the end, just 50 feet away. If we all did that, it would take us about a half hour to get off of School Street, and just to sort of sit there and not you know, be thinking about I've got to be home by 8 o'clock, or when I get home, I'm gonna, you know, turn on the dinner. But just to stop.
That's a good one, and I think a kind of a hard one to completely stop. Like you feel like you almost feel like you're going backwards when you completely stop.
Because your mind is going forward.
Yeah. So. That's great, and we have our special Zen Center stop sign right as you leave Zazen. You're all primed and ready to stop there, yeah. So that's great. Like Tassajara, for people who've been to the mountain monastery, we're connected with, we have that practice of bowing to each other when we meet on the path, but it's not just like bowing while we're passing, it's like stopping. We're walking along on the path and we stop and bow, and that's hard, especially if you're trying to get somewhere quickly. It's a very, very short stop, but still stop. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that. Ways to stop and ways to notice our tendencies. I think also San Diego Zen Center, one of the teachers said, I have different practices each of the 7 days of the week I sometimes like to take up, and I choose Mondays for the like kind of like working with like annoyance and frustration, because that tends to happen more on Mondays than other days. It's kind of like back to work. And so I try to choose Mondays to just notice. And they, in this case, they made the point of not trying to change it or try to be more nice or something. I think that's a valid practice too, but there they said, just noticing how over and over we get kind of like frustrated and caught by often things that other people are doing. But they're not really about these other people. I heard this teaching from a friend, Vanya, who's a Kobin student teaching up at Jikoji, and he brought up this story. He heard Thich Nhat Hanh, he was once at a kind of a Dharma transmission ceremony with Thich Nhat Hanh passing on his Dharma to somebody. It was, I guess, in a public ceremony. And Thich Nhat Hanh said to the group, "The main job of a Dharma teacher is to be happy." I thought, wow, that really struck me. I thought, that's great. And actually, I felt a little embarrassed as I sometimes sitting on the Dharma seat, because I'm not always happy. And I don't think of it as like my job. And I thought, that's great. That's good. I think it wasn't just to be happy, but to know how to be happy. Because in fact, that's the whole point of the Dharma that we're trying to help others with as a teacher. So we could apply that to all of us as practitioners too. It's funny somehow that it seems so almost like so simple and unexpectedly like plain. But in fact, when I reflect on that, I think that's incredibly profound. I think much more important than understanding the intricacies and subtleties of all the different types of Dharma teachings. And those things are important too, but knowing how to be happy, or, you know, at peace. Happiness is kind of a loaded word. And I think maybe doesn't always mean being at peace, but actually when we're not at peace, at least we know why we're not. There where we can find it again. Again, very humbling to take that up, because sometimes I can feel not at peace, and I do know why I'm not at peace, and it's not about anybody else or anything in the external environment at all. But even knowing that, I still can't quite just let it go. Yes.
Well, maybe that's why that's the invitation of being in the teaching role, is because you have to then work at how do you let it go.
Yeah, yeah.
That there's a commitment to how do you let it go, and also how do you look at the world in such a way that you can see the beauty and the joy.
Yeah.
Because there's always the ugliness and the anger and the violence is always there too.
Yep.
So how do we do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do we cultivate it?
In many ways. Mm-hmm.
And see it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And see it. And then if we're really doing that, that is teaching Dharma, actually. I mean, it's formal teaching, but actually, as Thich Nhat Hanh himself says, being peace is the way to create peace in the world. And it's a tall order. And at first it maybe sounds self-centered, just to be happy oneself. Isn't that a small vehicle way or something? But I think we could see it as a bodhisattva practice for all beings, and a challenging one. Can we collect the teacups while we're talking? Thanks. Yes?
Just another thought on that. You could be happy and be doing anything. You could be happy and seeing, demonstrating up at the book. You could be happy. Doesn't mean you're not doing things.
Oh, yeah, no, it doesn't mean you're not doing things. Or even any particular thing. We might even say, well, what about doing harmful things? And I would say, well, that's already built in, because actually, I think we can't really be happy for doing harming others, right? So the kind of ethical piece, I think, takes care of itself. If we really want to be happy, truly happy, that means not harming others or blaming others and so on. Kind of covers the whole world of practice. It might sound funny to make a practice period commitment. For 2 months, I vow to be happy. We maybe can't really decide to do that, but we can, maybe we can decide to explore what that means, how peace and well-being arises, what are the conditions when we are feeling that way, what kind of situation are we in, and when we're not feeling that way, what kind of situation are we in, and maybe we see some correlation between how we're doing or what we're doing and this peace. I see some new folks that haven't been here before, especially welcome to you, and you might not have known that you were jumping into practice period today, but now you're in it, we're all in it, for better or worse, for 2 months, till mid-December, and so you can, even if you never come back here again, you can take this practice period with you and enjoy it. Wherever you are. Supporting each other and being supported by each other is the spirit of practice period. We dedicate any positive energy from our intention to practice in peace together for these 2 months to all beings everywhere. May they all be included in this vast, inconceivable practice period. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's ways unsurpassable. I vow to become.